So Psalm 89, 1 to 18. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. You have established yourself in your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength. And by your favor, you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Now flipping over to 2 Thessalonians, we're in chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance.
Well, isn't it fascinating to think how certain trends and movements take off? You know, why do certain movements spread? You know, I've yet to have my first pickleball game. I hear it gets hot in the kitchen. Is that right? Is that a pickleball term, I think? Maybe, I don't know. But, you know, other trends, you know, other things, you know, just things become the rage. You know, do you remember stick family stickers on the back of cars? I know some of you in cafes love to order your bowl of RKE, and is wearing beige still in? I don't know. That was a thing. I've also discovered recently that wearing cord pants has been a thing of late. Look, I already did cords in high school. I've ticked that box. I am not going back there ever again. But trends and movements, and it's just amazing how they take off. And you can think about what sustains their growth and also what makes them fizzle out. Well, Christianity is a movement. Christianity is a movement that spread and grown, and it is of God. It's given meaning and hope and joy to so many of you. You have assurance you belong to God forever because of Jesus. Christianity does move outwards. It's cross-cultural, it's transnational. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, they will praise Jesus forever, and it is spreading. And today's message is about, well, let's all join in on this movement. Let's get on board. Perhaps maybe for some of you, for the first time, you need to get on board with Jesus. And we're going to talk about that. But for all of us here, let's be part of this movement. Fads and trends come and go, but this is world-conquering movement of the gospel of Jesus, that we were made for this. This is our purpose. This is the hope for the world. Now, just before we work through the points here, did you notice that much of today's passage comes in the form of a prayer request? The Apostle Paul says there, chapter 3, verse 1, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us. It's a continuation from what he wrote at the end of chapter 2. He's just spoken of his prayer for them. Now he asks for them to pray for him, along with his friends Silas and Timothy. Paul wants prayer. He needs prayer. And I reckon this just helpfully busts my own stereotype image that I have of Paul. You know, this great Apostle Paul, the great, bold, tough, can do anything Apostle Paul. I reckon I do think of Paul is sort of almost like a superhero. You know, there's Iron Man. Well, this must be Gospel Man. You know, indestructible. Nothing could stop him. Except he asked for prayer. So this encourages me. Paul needs prayer. Like we all need prayer. So let's get into his prayer points. Now, firstly, prayer for the message to spread fast. Now, let's go there in our Bibles. Let's just read that very first sentence, chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly. We're just going to stop there for a moment. So the message of the gospel, the message of the Lord is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Jesus said himself, go into all the world and tell the world about me. So here's the movement. And you notice there, it's distance and speed. Paul's asking, please pray to God that as speakers here of Jesus, that the message of the Lord may spread and spread rapidly. And with the word that Paul's using here, it's really cool. Literally, he's asking for prayer that the word may run. That the word may run. What an image. This idea that the word runs is not new in the Bible. Check this out from Psalm 147 where it says, He, that's God, sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. Paul wants the word of Jesus to run swiftly. So let's think about the word of Jesus. You know, we could think of the word of Jesus like, I don't know, gout, you know, adopted Aussie sprinter, 200 meter sprinter. Or how about the world record marathon runner, Kenyan Sebastian Sawe? He's gone sub 2 hours for 42 kilometers. Now that is running. That is sprinting. That is pelting along. So that may the gospel be passed on and believed and proclaimed. May the gospel stride out and pelt along with speed. May it run. From Thessalonica to Rome to Russia to India to Britain to the US to South America to Africa to Australia, that the gospel of Jesus may run into Brisbane, that the gospel would run into our suburbs and school and workplaces and our families. You know, we have this vision and prayer here at Christ Central. Our vision and prayer is to see a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. I reckon we could change that. We could just get a lot more simple little logo motto than that. We could just say, run, gospel, run. So if you're a Christian, who played their role so that the gospel ran to you? And may the gospel run with speed from you. Are you involved that the gospel would run? And here's a question for us. You know, why does Paul want the word of the Lord to run rapidly, run swiftly anyway? I mean, why not walk? Why not stroll? Just chill. Don't overexert yourself. Why in such a hurry? Well, it's not because Paul is just sort of hyperactive or he's got this overinflated view of himself that he just has something that he just wants other people to believe because he's just Paul. No, it's because he loves people that much. It's because he loves the Lord that much. Now, in your Bibles, if you can, flick over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've said this before, but these two letters are linked. The same themes flow through them both. But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. And just the last line of that sentence, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, talks about Jesus was raised from the dead, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So Paul knows that the stakes are high. He knows that as he tries to persuade people of the good news of Jesus, he's playing with live ammunition. He wants God to do a Holy Spirit-powered work in people as they come to believe in Jesus and so are rescued from the coming wrath. That's a reason Jesus wants the gospel to run, that people would be rescued from the coming wrath. But now flick back to 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Here's another reason that Paul wants the message to run. Actually, we looked at this verse a few weeks ago, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. You know, on the day of Jesus' return, it also says, on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. Paul is expressing here what he's looking forward to for all those who believe in Jesus, that they marvel at Jesus, that we'd glory in our Lord Jesus, that would be utterly transformed by being in his splendor and his presence. Again, we're talking about, why in such a hurry? Why do we want the gospel to run and keep on running? Just take a chill pill. No. This is the movement of the gospel. Put it like this: it's only natural that we want people to marvel at what we've come to marvel ourselves. Remember, I don't know if you remember, back in March this year, there was the rare total lunar eclipse. There was the blood moon. I don't know if any of you sort of got out at night and tried to take some photos. Everyone was looking at it, taking pictures of it, posting it. Look at this. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this marvelous? This astronomical event. You know, we are made to show off what we marvel at. We want the gospel to spread rapidly so Jesus would be marveled, don't we? That on that day we will see him in his splendor and he will receive worship and honor and glory. This is the reason we want the message to run. So we want the gospel to run, you know, with our overseas missionary support. We prayed for some of that today, you know, over there in Germany with the Bradleys, over there in Vanuatu through Bible translation with Tim Zylstra. But we want the gospel to run right here too, don't we? That's why we are running Discover. We've got our Discover preview nights. If you didn't make it last Wednesday, come along this week so that you'd know more about it, so you can pray for it, so you can bring your friends to it. When we're Christian, we marvel at Jesus. We want others. We want others to be there with us on that day, and we will together marvel at Jesus. You know, still on this first point, but before Rebecca was giving us some announcements, she mentioned a congregational meeting on Sunday, the 28th of June, to do with our denomination, the Presbyterian Church of Queensland. It's a downer of a topic. The denomination is under receivership. It's been going on for years. Legal cases are now coming to a pointy end. There is a chance the denomination, its current legal structure, may fold. So congregations like us are talking about setting up our own legal entity as a precaution. So come along on the 28th, learn some questions. But bottom line, even if this denomination in its current structure stop, but you know what? That the gospel will still run. May we in our relationships as a church, in prayer, with our boldness, see the word of the Lord spread quickly. We want it to run. So that's the first point, prayer for the message to spread far. Second point, prayer for the message to be honored. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. And as I read before, I just stopped, you know, midway through the sentence, didn't I? I mean, let's finish it off. says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. So we're teasing out this prayer request. Paul is asking for prayer that the word of the Lord Jesus may run, but also that it may be honored. Honored. You know, this word honor the gospel, honor the message of the Lord. Or, you know, it's possible we actually have a too low a view of this word honor, to honor something. Like we sort of treat it as a sort of old fuddy-duddy sort of tradition respect thing. I remember when I was at Parliament House in Canberra in the public gallery, and the ushers tell you, you know, if you want to stand up and leave in the middle of Parliament sitting, well, what you need to do to show some respect, you need to bow, good little nod, give a bow to the speaker to show some respect, to show your honour. And to me that felt sort of weird and old-timey, and this idea to show honour, just a bit of a custom, isn't it? So I think we can sort of take that similar way into how we even think about God. You know, you come to church to show some honour. You fix up your life, show some, follow some morals to show some honour. So we bring that understanding to the gospel of Jesus, and then you might think you honour the message of the Lord when you don't. Because to honour is something else. In fact, we know what honouring means because Paul says here, doesn't he? Just as it was with you. And we can read about what it meant for them. So in your Bibles, again, flick back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll just read all the way to verse 10. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So this is when the gospel ran to them and when they honored the gospel. There was Holy Spirit power. And look at verse 9. To honor the gospel is to welcome the message and turn from idols to serve the living and true God. I mean, how good was it that Rebecca spoke about this earlier today, and that was the lesson with the kids? You know, if you're not a Christian yet, this is what it will mean for you to honor the gospel. To honor is not to give some respect. To honor is to repent. And that means, in the light of Christ, what he's done for us, dying in our place, raising again as judge and king, then we admit to Jesus that there are things and people and ambitions and dreams that we have and value and love. But now we let Jesus be in that place, that above all, we have and value and love Jesus as our Lord. You know, don't think this talk of idols is the stuff of tribal people living in villages, as if you're too sophisticated for that sort of thing. This is every person. The Bible says we're sinners not because we break some rules, but because we replace God. We replace God as our ultimate and make family and career our ultimate. We make wanting to be popular and have great experiences as ultimate. We make weekends and holidays as our ultimate. We pour our ambitions into our kids and make them our ultimate. We make our super fun and looming retirement as our ultimate. You know, wherever you're at with your daydreams and your fears, sure bet that says something about your idols. And isn't it kind of exhausting to always be chasing our idols? But that is our rebellion against the one true living God. And you might not think you're that bad. You're not breaking any of the big rules like, you know, bank robber or murderer. But it's worse than that. You're replacing him. And so to honor the message of the Lord, it's not to say from now on I'll behave myself. That's religion. No, it's to say from now on I submit myself. I surrender. And notice in chapter 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, Paul says at the time when they honored the message of the Lord, they welcomed the message with joy. You know, we probably think, you know, honor is this sort of polite respect, you know, begrudging thing. Got to follow the rules. Honor the rules. But Jesus died for you. He rose again. He is Lord. When you know that, you accept Jesus with joy. And as I'm speaking, and if as I'm speaking, you're realizing that for the first time, you know, you want to honor the Lord, so good. Well, don't resist what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart right now. Don't shrug it off. You know, come to me and talk to me afterwards, or come to the prayer table afterwards. We want to pray for you. Honor Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. May the message of the Lord spread rapidly. May the message of the Lord be honored. That's what we want to be about here. That's why we support overseas missionaries. That's why we seek to share the gospel with our friends, invite them to church, invite them to discover. We don't want people to discover that Jesus is just this really helpful teacher and guide in life. I mean, that's fake news. No, we want people to discover that Jesus is Lord. And this is the movement of the gospel that goes on. May we participate in this. May this be the movement that captivates us and controls us. May we be financial partners in it. Give with the money God has given us. May we participate in it. May we pray for it. So we've had the prayer for the message to spread fast, then prayer for the message to be honored. But did you spot the other prayer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? There's another prayer point, I should say. There's another prayer point. I'll put it like this: prayer for those who spread the message to be protected. Now, as you see that point, I know it's starting to sound a bit like margarine or something, okay? I get it. But just using the same word here to sort of make the links here. But it's there in verse 2 where it says, have a look, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. That people with the gospel would be protected and delivered and be unhindered to continue to spread the message rapidly. You know, I must admit, as I was thinking about the word of the gospel, you know, out for a run, running rapidly, and those who want to stop it, I must admit, I actually thought of, that old cartoon, Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. You remember that cartoon? You know, the coyote was always trying to stop the Roadrunner from running. You know, with TNT and dropping boulders, and he'd always end up getting exploded and the boulders would fall on him every time. It is funny stuff, but this isn't funny stuff. With the word that runs, Paul talks about wicked and evil people trying to stop the running of the gospel. And I don't think the Thessalonians had to try hard to imagine wicked and evil people. I mean, you can read it in Acts chapter 17, you can read about people in Thessalonica who tried to stop Paul, persecute Paul, drag him out of the city. Paul is pretty experienced in crowds who riot against him and authorities who arrest him. So if you think about the words of this prayer request, it is a courageous prayer. Because Paul's not asking that he'd have a pain-free, comfortable life, is he? He's not asking for just take away the pain, take away the discomfort, that he'd never have to face wicked and evil people. But as he comes into conflict, as he comes into hard conflict, he asks for a prayer that God would deliver him so that the gospel would continue to run. See, as the gospel runs, it's not smooth. You know, just keep with the image of a running gospel. The run, you know, it's running cross country. It's running despite barriers put up. It's running parkour style, whatever. Whatever it takes, whatever barriers are there. Maybe the level of opposition any of us face doesn't measure up to Paul. But we can still pray for this for ourselves and each other, that opposition in our culture, at uni, at work, our families, that we wouldn't tire out, that we wouldn't be discouraged to the point of giving up, that we'd never come to the conclusion, why bother? The reality is there is wicked and evil people. Not everyone has faith. That's the way it is. But there are people who believe. There are people for whom God's Holy Spirit will break through so they honor the message of the Lord. May all of us pray and have courage from God so that we press on, that the Lord would deliver us when we need to be delivered and would be involved in this growing, spreading movement of the gospel. So we've drilled into Paul's prayer points here, asking for prayer for the message to run, to spread fast, and for the message to be honored, and for those who spread the message to be protected. But let's end with one more thing that Paul says, verse 3, and we'll only get to verse 3 today, and it's actually not a prayer request, it's a statement. And it's this: the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Now, read with me verse 3. It says there, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Now, look, throughout the Bible, the Lord is praised as the one who is faithful. We read before Psalm 89, which is a song about God who is faithful. It says, with my mouth I'll make your faithfulness known through all generations. The Lord's faithfulness comes up right through the New Testament, like in Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. But let's think about this declaration that the Lord is faithful in the context of this prayer for the movement of the gospel. This prayer for the message of the Lord to go outwards and onwards with speed, despite opposition, despite those who don't have faith. It's this encouragement we all need when the spread of the gospel, maybe from our perspective, doesn't look as if it is going fast as we think it should. Yet the Lord is faithful. Let's talk some practical realities. I was talking to someone this week. They were saying with uni friends, some opportunities opening up for them to talk about the Bible and Jesus and explaining the gospel. How good is that? So we can say the Lord is faithful. I was talking to someone else. Their boss asked about a Christian book they were reading, but on the spot didn't quite know what to say. Haven't we all been there? Yet we can still say the Lord is faithful. Some of you invited a friend or a work colleague to an evangelism course here, but so far they've said no. Others have said yes, they've come along in all of it. The Lord is faithful. Or being in Christian ministry, you know, like teaching RI or teaching kids or youth here, we teach the gospel. Sometimes we actually don't see the straightaway impact of this beautiful thing we're doing, persuading people of the gospel. But the Lord is faithful. And I know sometimes we face discouragement. Someone who we thought was a Christian, but they've walked away from faith in Jesus. Now that is hard, but the Lord is faithful. Some of you parents have kids who themselves have gone on with faith in Jesus, so you can say the Lord is faithful. But on the other hand, other parents, despite all you've done, you face the heartache that as yet your child does not honor the message of Jesus. But you know what? You can equally say, can't you? The Lord is faithful. Jesus died for us. He rose again. He promised to come back. Think how the gospel came to you. Think how the gospel has run on from Thessalonica into your life, your heart. Think how the gospel that the Holy Spirit broke through, how you came to love and honor the truth of the gospel. You know the Lord is faithful. Sometimes we think, is there a movement? Well, there is. There always is. We just have to look for what the Lord is doing, bringing people to faith in Jesus. This is not a fad that will fizzle out. This is the Lord who sends his gospel onwards. Remember his promises. Remember our Savior Jesus who died in our place and rose from the dead, and he will return. It's the message that we turn from idols to serve the true living God. This is the movement we want to be part of. We want to get on board with this. We want to get on board with Jesus. We want to press on and serve and speak of him. And God is faithful. And he'll strengthen us and protect us from the evil one. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has the power. He will get the glory. Let's participate in this movement. Let's partner in it. Let's pray for it. And I'm going to pray and invite you to pray with me now. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ, that there on the cross, he paid the price for our sin. And so, Father, we thank you that you are the one true living God. Father, we know that idols are worthless and they are awful. They are awful masters. And so I pray for each person here that we may repent, we may turn aside from idols to serve the one true living God, you. Father, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for Christ's return. And Father, thank you for this gospel that is going onwards and outwards, that people are turning to Christ. Father, we pray that we might see you doing your work. Father, help us to know that you are faithful. We declare today together that the Lord is faithful. Help us to know this in our hearts and help us to press on and persevere. And again, Father, help us to participate and partner and pray always for this movement. Again, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, our King and Savior, and in his name we pray. Amen.